Welcome to the Offside Rule, and I am back, Teddy McQueen in the presenter chair, ready to steer you through our show. So this is my first appearance since the end of last season. You've had a mega summer of all the World Cup podcasts, which I was, of course, listening to. I became an avid fan, and now I'm back here, feel comfortable, everything's back to normal, although it's not quite back to normal, is it?
Are you sure that you feel comfortable after coming up four flights of stairs just to get to the new studio?
Yes, heavily pregnant, due in just a few weeks' time, but I need the exercise.
You did ever so well, Hayley.
I'm really,
very impressed.
Really proud of myself. Right, those little voices that you heard, we'll be getting an introduction formally in just a second, because we have alongside me, it's the woman who has, now listen to this puntastic intro here, jotted her notes down. Although sometimes you have to crack her, Cody, but no, she will always triori her best. It's Wolves fan, Lindsay Hooper.
Hello, I'm loving that.
That was amazing.
Is that courtesy of lovely Abby, our producer?
Yeah, sorry, that wasn't me. Yeah. She wrote it for
she
me.
She likes a few puns.
She does, love it. And we have a woman returning to the Offside Rule Lair. We didn't put her off, thank you for coming back. She'll hope not to ruffle any feathers or Mackie. A meal of it, Mackie, a meal of it, Mackie. Watch her wreck the mic, Sykes. Yeah. Yes, Woodburn, believe it. It's commentator and Oxford fan, Robin Gowan.
Oh my word, Abby, I'm applauding. Yeah. I'm actually applauding the obscure Oxford United players.
There
She's done
go.
Her research.
And there's a lot of people that are just looking very vacant right now.
Yeah, including
like,
you.
What was that all about?
Oh dear. So we're going to start with you, Robin, because actually you've had a change in status since you were last on the podcast.
Oh yes, I tick a different box now, but nothing really has changed. I got married 3 weeks ago.
Yay!
But we've been together for 11 years. So, I mean, it's not a huge change, okay. But obviously it's been 3 weeks and I'm completely miserable now because I'm married, obviously.
And weirdly enough, it would have been the same weekend that I was going to get married this summer.
That's so
weird,
isn't
it? Yeah, the following day almost. So, but that's been put off.
What I want to know is, did you manage to leave the football theme behind? Because even though we all love football, we've had this chat before that we would never get married. Like, I wouldn't get married at Molineux, you wouldn't get married at Old Trafford. It's not that present in our life to be there on our wedding day.
The venue for the Kassam Stadium was touted by my father, but he said absolutely not. It's the worst stadium, I think, possibly in the EFL, three sides. But the football theme did carry on with our wedding cake, which was the best bit, I felt.
Cake would be okay, yeah.
My mother-in-law, it was her creation. It's me in an Oxford United kit taking a penalty against my husband, Ian, who is a goalkeeper.
Cool.
It's also got our cats just on the pitch as well.
Oh, so, I've got to incorporate my cat. I've got a cat.
Yes.
Oh, and I'll have a baby by then. I keep forgetting about that bit. I don't know what I'm going to do with it when I'm having a fun time. I'm sure there'll be enough people there to look after it, won't there? I mean, you can't quite top that for us, can you, Lindsay?
What has happened in my last 3 weeks?
You bought a house?
I bought a bungalow, hence why I probably, as we come on to it later, we've got a topic which includes retired players, and it's because I'm planning for my own retirement.
Really,
I bought a bungalow.
72.
So it's fresh in my head.
What's the new stairs? A bit of a shock for you today, then.
It was. These four flights of stairs is the only way I'm going to be having any stair exercise from now on.
So we've got a couple of cats and you've bought your bungalow.
Yeah.
Hey, Offside Rule. This is 2047. Right. In case you didn't already know, new for this season, we are now on Jack Radio on Friday nights from 7. So Jack's available online and now on digital radio. Let us crack on with the show. On today's programme, we are on Celeb Watch at the grounds and we're playing a little game that we've come up with called Retired or Not. We all know that Lindsay's retired to her bungalow, but see if you can work out what that's all about a little bit later on, all to come up on The Offside Rule.
This is The Offside Rule from Muddy Knees Media.
Now, the season started. We all got very excited this summer when they were new signings, but how have they worked out? Lower leagues, we've had a couple more games. Premier League, well, we've had a couple, haven't we? We've got cup games as well to try and assess some of these debuts. But what about the debut for a big name manager, Frank Lampard. Well, he definitely had a day to forget, didn't he, against Manchester United. What a shame. So we're heading into the history books to have a little bit of a look at some other debuts that weren't so brilliant. We thought we put a positive slant on it. I actually like Frank. He's a good guy. So we're going to give Frank a little bit of hope. We're looking at some other debuts that might have gone terribly, but actually they redeemed themselves as the season went on, okay? Mm. Or maybe even not. Maybe it got worse, which might be where I delve into a bit of research. So, Robin, debuts. Hit me with it.
I think the top one, well, I did a little bit of research, but I did remember this. It's been in every single list of the worst debuts ever, was Jonathan Woodgate. Yes. That's the classic,
yes.
Isn't it?
Real Madrid.
Real Madrid, huge move to Real Madrid. I think he'd already had some injury problems. And it took him a year, actually, to make his debut after he signed for them. Mm-hmm. He started against Athletic Bilbao. He scored a spectacular own goal. Beautiful finish. It was a diving header that everyone would have been proud of. And then sent off for two bookable offences. Oh. So, I mean, you can't really get much worse than that, can you?
The thing that I remember from that was Iker Casillas' face. Did you see his facial expression as he looks at Jonathan Woodgate
Who's
as that
guy?
Header goes by? You're like... Hello, welcome to Real Madrid, one of the best teams in the world.
Wow.
I think it did get it slightly better for him. I think he had a fairly injury-plagued career, didn't he? Mm. And he's not had the best of starts as Middlesbrough manager. He's had a bit of a tricky opening. But whenever I've heard him speak, he seems like a very grounded individual. And I really do think he's going to do well as Middlesbrough manager.
Mm. He's definitely grounded. He'll be gutted, though, because Stuart Downing's actually his brother-in-law. And the club got rid of him just before he went in to take the role as manager. So he could have had one of his best mates and a little borough hero as well. It's my hometown too, so I like to follow the borough. I'd like to see players being given the chance as managers. There's a lot of them this season. So, right, come on, Littensy, what have you got?
Well, in most recent memory, I think I would go for Joe Hart when he left Manchester City and went to Torino. I mean, he'd had a pretty bad time of it leading up to leaving Manchester City. That was with England and City themselves when Pep Guardiola came in. But I mean, his day didn't start very well when he had the team sheet and they read it out as John Hart. So they'd actually got his name wrong to start with. He misjudged a cross. This is in a game in Serie A against Atalanta. They scored from it. And then he went the wrong way for a penalty, which does happen for goalkeepers. Yeah. But I think just to confirm it, it was a defeat then for his new team. And I just thought, well, it doesn't feel like a great period of time for Joe Hart when you look back at that time. And we went on to speak to him when he went to West Ham for one of our Offside Rule exclusives. And he's such an honest guy. He talks about it really openly and says, well, you know, you're not always going to get it going your way. And it didn't in Torino on the first day.
No. I just don't think it's gone much better for him, really, has it? Since leaving Manchester City, he hasn't really covered himself in glory for a number of years, unfortunately. If we're trying to give Frank Lampard hope, that's all. Mm-hmm. Apologies.
I'd also like to say for everyone, because I'm a bit of a Zlatan Ibrahimovic worshipper, but I think this brings him back down to earth. It makes him more human and less godlike, like he likes to think he is. Because if you're talking about debuts, when he went to AC Milan, for anyone who thinks, super Zlatan, so good, we know he's an incredible player. But if you go back to August 2010, when he went to AC Milan, there was a match in Serie A where he missed a penalty on his debut.
Oh.
You wouldn't think that about Zlatan, would you? But he did.
Take Zlat. Okay,
yeah.
Well, what a difference a few days can make, actually, or just a few days this week, because you've got Pulisic as well, a really poor debut, I think you'd have to say. So not only Frank Lampard struggling at Chelsea, but a couple of individual players as well who just looked a little bit lost. And I think for him, you do start to worry and think, oh gosh, is he going to be a mega flop? Is it going to be one of those? And NBC drew record viewers as well because of his move from the United States. So all eyes were on him. However, he then redeemed himself, didn't he, midweek in the Super Cup, setting up the first goal, playing with confidence. And yeah, he did have the ball in the back of the net, but that was ruled offside.
It was a fabulous strike, wasn't it? Absolutely brilliant. You got a feel for him. But no, he was absolutely sensational in the Super Cup.
But how contrasting in these. So he's obviously not let that first appearance competitively get to his head. And he's cracked on and everything's looking good.
I think the only way we can make Frank Lampard feel better, though, if we're going to take it back to managers, because we've talked about a few players, we need to talk about a manager that got it really bad on their debut. So just for Frank, I dug out of the archives Graham Souness, which I imagine, Hayley, from your interest in Scottish mm-hmm. football, you'll have remembered this. So he went to Rangers as a player manager, if you remember. Now, in the opening 15 minutes, it feels as well like lots of people have bad debuts against Hibernian. Look into that if you've got time on Google at some point. Yeah, a lot of people have bad debuts against Hibernian. It came with this one as well. He was sent off, straight red card in the opening 15 minutes for a tackle on George McCluskey. Then what followed, so you imagine you're the new player manager, a mass brawl, 21 of 22 players were booked.
What?
And Rangers lost 2-1. So as an opening gambit as a manager, I would say that Frank Lampard, that was pretty good going, really. I mean, the scoreline wasn't great, but at least he didn't have any of his players booked and he didn't get a straight red card himself. Well, because you can now in the Premier League as a manager get a red.
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to seeing Graham and reminding him of that the next time. I don't think I'll dare even.
Don't, yeah.
Yeah, I won't mention that. I just want to give a bit of a mention to one particular player who's currently on loan, with Arsenal fans now begging Unai Emery to recall Eddie Nketiah from his loan spell, of course. He scored for Leeds on his debut in the Carabao Cup against Salford City. So just want to put him out there because I thought we'd just focus on the positives of some players. But there's
another positive, because another name that we've spoken to in the Offside Rule exclusives was Jermaine Defoe last season. We have to mention him because I talk about dream debuts. He had many of them, pretty much every team he represented.
Yeah.
He scored on the debut. So West Ham, Spurs twice, Portsmouth, when he played for the England under-21s. So I definitely wanted to give him a mention, and I can't ignore either Sergio Aguero. Sorry, Hayley. I know you're having your Man United love in today, but when he made his debut for Man City against Swansea, scored 2 goals and set up another. That's pretty good going on your first appearance for a club.
He's done all right since then, hasn't he? I've also got Ricky Lambert scoring with his first touch for England as he came on.
Don't. You're going to get me going. This is going to get me going. It wasn't his first touch. I keep telling everybody this. It's gone down in history. It's like false history books. I was there alongside Kate Borsay. He had one touch near the centre circle where he passed the ball back, and everyone says it was his first touch. And we both talk about this all the time and say we saw him touch the ball before. I mean, it's a nicer story to say it was his first touch, but it's false history.
Oh, it's a touch of exaggeration. Nothing wrong with that. Oh. Well, with those debuts off our back, we turn next to a game we like to call Retired or Not. Tights. Ladies and gents, you can't live without them, and you can't live with them. They form ladders with ease and cause you much anguish. If only there were some tights designed differently. Fear not. Heist exists, and we're endorsing them here at the Offside Rule. Lindsay, you've been trying them out. What do you think?
I love them, and I still haven't had a ladder, so that's really good going, and I've worn them a few times now. They have not laddered. They're so comfortable, and I like it because of the high waistband, which I know that you're enjoying with your bump.
Yes, although it takes a giant pair of tights to get over my bump. In fact, I can't even reach my ankles to put the tights on. Abby, our producer, actually wore some of the shapewear just last week. She looked fantastic. She wrote that line herself. No, she did look fantastic. So it's brilliant shapewear. How do they do it? Well, the team creating their product, Lab 12, are using technology normally only found in sportswear. So you can be confident that the clothing will move with your body, not against it. And there's more to come from Heist in 2020. Shop now at heist-studios.com for 15% off. Use code HEIST15, all capitals, at the checkout. That's heiststudios.com. And for 15% off, use the code all capitals, HEIST15, Heist Revolutionary Underwear. And I will be purchasing that aplenty. Hopefully might even be sent some once the baby's here. I'll need all the help I can get.
I've passed on that code as well. 15%, worth it, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is the Offside Rule with me, Hayley McQueen, joined in the studio by Robin Cowan and Lindsay Hooper. And we're talking retired or not. This was Lindsay's idea because Hoops came to us saying there was a player who'd retired over the summer that had gone completely under the radar, okay? It went so under the radar, it only dawned on her who it was, just what?
48 hours later, yeah. I couldn't remember who it was. I remember reading about it, hearing about it, and thinking, wow, that's really passed me by. So much so that I got concerned. Yeah, I immediately forgot. And then I got concerned about myself. I thought, I've bought a bungalow. I'm starting to lose my memory. What's going on? But it did come back to me. I think it's the longest time it's ever taken me to remember something.
Who is it?
Bruno at Brighton.
Oh.
Bruno. So he played his last match, I think it was the home match against Manchester City at the end of last season. Okay. And maybe there was such a furore about Manchester City versus Liverpool and all of that story that I think it really went a bit unnoticed. And for a player that had 234 appearances for Brighton, he'd been captain fantastic for them as well. I felt like he could have had a bit more of a send-off. I mean, you cover week in, week out, Robin. Did it pass you by?
Completely, yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. It was the final day sort of shenanigans that definitely overshadowed it. But how was he 39, 40 as well?
38, I think.
38, yeah. And he still looked in good shape. I mean, what a servant for Brighton. Absolutely incredible.
And it did make me think about other players, because then there were ones that were more prevalent in recent weeks. I mean, you have to mention Wesley Schneider. Anyone who loves football, what a player. And just that he'd won everything. Eredivisie, La Liga titles, Serie A, Champions League. He's won the Coppa Italia twice, amongst many others, some Turkish titles and everything going. And you look at him and he gets such an applause across social media from everybody, you know, what a player. And rightly so. But I did think, well, Bruno didn't get that. And at Brighton, he was brilliant. And then other players, everyone, when I say this name, everyone's going to remember the awful match that he had. But he was a brilliant player, I thought. John Walters.
Oh,
he retired.
Yeah.
So Peter Crouch retired, so did John Walters. And I felt, again, that we heard about Peter's career quite a lot. But did we hear as much about John Walters?
I definitely don't think we did.
No.
No way. Here's one from me. Crawley Town's Danny Bullman, okay?
Former Oxford United player.
Yes. Now, he's older than me. This is old. And I thought, well, he's got to have retired. He's in his 40s. No, he's still playing for Crawley.
He's unbelievable.
He's played in two games already. It's not like he's just sitting on the bench.
He's a midfielder. You know, we have to have a good engine.
With legs.
Yes.
Has he dropped down to more defensive midfield now?
I don't think so. He's pretty much playing the same position he always did. And I read an interview with him and they said, oh, do you do anything special? Do you eat well? And he went, not really. It's just naturally.
Yeah, I had a bit of a Google. I was like, you must do Pilates. There's some yoga stuff going on. He might have turned vegetarian, vegan. There's got to be something that he's doing to unlock this youth that he still seems to have. One man who isn't so youthful anymore, John O'Shea. I think that went a little bit unnoticed because he ended his career at Sunderland. Sunderland were kind of, well, struggling to say the least at the time. But he had such success at Manchester United, of course. Had he have retired when he was at United, there would have been a bit more of a, yay, congratulations, you've had a great career. Look at all that you've won with Manchester United. He was never one of those players that stood out because it was a team full of stars when he played there. However, I just think, well done. Well done. Congratulations on your career. And another one just to mention as well. Now, he played for West Ham, Liverpool, Chelsea. When he was at Chelsea, he went on loan to Arsenal. He then went back to West Ham on loan, played for QPR. Yossi Benayoun.
Benayoun, yeah. I was just thinking, who is this? Yeah, Benayoun.
And he was playing up until the end of last season. He went back to Israel, he played for Maccabi Tel Aviv, Beitar Jerusalem. That was the last club he played for. He made three appearances. Obviously, a player that we all remember and know well, but kind of sort of just disappeared, and now he has disappeared for good. He's the most capped player of all time for Israel, 102 caps, the joint second top scorer with 24 international goals. Just wanted to give him a little mention.
I've got to give a Wolves player a mention as well, Michael Keightley. He retired this summer, only about 33 as well, so a lot younger to retire. I remember when I thought that Michael Keightley was the best player in the Wolves team, and not taking anything away from him. If you look at the Wolves team now, wow, like the difference, because he was sensational. I think over 120 appearances for Wolves. He scored 24 goals in his time there. But the thing that I always remember, he nutmegged about three or four players when Wolves played Stoke. So he nutmegged Huth, Wilson, Etherington and Whelan in the same match. And he scored the winner away at Forest, which is a cracking goal. So I wanted to mention him because he was one of my favourites once upon a time. But it also makes me feel like the club now is in such a different place.
Mm. Yeah, they've certainly moved on from Michael Keightley, haven't they? You said that 33 is young. Karen Carney. 31.
Yeah.
I was absolutely shocked because she still looks in very good shape. She's still brilliant. Although she said herself that she can't really handle the recovery, and she, when she thought of having another season, that she couldn't mentally and physically. But I thought, 31, she still got it.
When we were in France and that announcement came out, I thought she was going to be announcing that she was retiring from international football. Same, that's what shocked me the most.
I think Emma Hayes was desperate for her to play at least one more season. She was trying to convince her up until the end.
I wonder if she'll end up just playing for fun.
She could play on my team if she wants.
I mean, if we have a friendly competition, a five-a-side or something.
With your contacts, we could get a really good team, couldn't we? We don't have to play. We'll just manage.
We'll put an offside rule team forward, but we'll just manage, shall we, Robin, from the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll do it midweek so we can grab Alex Scott as well.
Of course.
Give us extra headlines.
While she's not dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just dance into our little team. There we go. Any more for us, Robin?
I was just going to make the point that actually in the women's game, it seems to be that they just don't make an official announcement. I know my colleague and friend Sue Smith hasn't actually made an official announcement, but she hasn't actually played for about 3 or 4 years. But I think she's still in her head anyway, hoping that she'll get the call from Phil Neville at some point. She's obviously doing amazing work now in the media. But
do you think there's a little bit of that, though, that you just don't want to say it?
I think so.
I've retired.
And also, I think a lot of these players wouldn't like the fanfare, which I think Phil Neville says, he said before, hasn't he, that we want to celebrate these players. Mm. They want to give them make a big deal out of them. Well, rightly so. But actually, I think a lot of these women's players, they're not used to it, are they? So maybe they just don't want to make a big announcement and be made a fuss of.
Well, Claire Rafferty retired as well. Mm-hmm. So another big name when it comes to Lionesses, and has moved into football in a more business role at Chelsea. So that's exciting to see that players have got different pathways. It's not all about coming into the media or going into coaching. Mm-hmm. There seems to be other career routes that they can take. But you are right. There doesn't ever seem to be an official announcement very often in women's football.
Not often. Laura Bassett announced over the summer.
Herself,
yeah. Obviously, she'd had a baby. But you don't assume that, do you? Because, you know, the likes of Katie Chapman came back after having a lot of kids. So you can't make that assumption. But obviously, Laura Bassett feels that her time is up. So, yeah, it's quite unusual. But I hope she gets made a fuss of. Mm. Laura Bassett, absolute legend.
Yeah.
Right, retirement gone and done next. We're going celeb spotting.
Adrian! It's Caroline. Just check in that you're okay and coming back on Wednesday to the podcast this season.
Yeah, hey Caroline. Yeah, I'm just getting my stats in line, brushing the dust off the match report book. See you Wednesday. Looking forward to it.
Good, good, good. Sam, it's Caroline here. Hope you're well. I haven't been scared off from last season yet, have you? Well, more to do this season on the Championship, on League One, on League Two. It's on a Wednesday this year.
Hi, Caroline. Yep, all good. Getting my scouting reports ready as I text. I've got a chic new wardrobe sorted, ready to work in Soho. And I'll see you Wednesday. I am going to miss talking about Johnny McGinn, though, I tell you that much.
Joe, are you there? Joe, it seems to be a problem with your line. You're right. It's OK. I'm sure Bolton will be all right. They'll have a good crack at League 2. I mean, League 1. And get some players in too. That was a deliberate mistake. I'll work it out. It'll all be okay in the end. Yeah, I know it's tough being a football fan. Let me tell you about Chelmsford City. Are you still there, Joe? That's the band then, back together again. Just have to wait for the season to start. That's the Totally Football League show, just like it was last year, but now on a Wednesday.
Sun shining, it's August. There are always more shots in the crowd looking at who's in the director's box. And there are always some quite starry names that turn up to some of the bigger games. But what about some of the bigger names that are turning up to the smaller teams? Like Will Ferrell at Pompey. And I didn't know this until I saw a colleague of mine put a picture of himself up with Will Ferrell on his Facebook page. And I'm thinking, what's happening here? Are you filming something? Have you just, but is this like a, you know, when you could do like a time hop and you go back? He's obviously met him in the past. No, he was there watching Pompey.
So he's friends with one of the owners, isn't he, Will Ferrell? I think that's the connection.
Right. I think the owner used to be a part of Disney, so they're all sort of Hollywood stars. And but I mean, I was so jealous when I saw that. I love Will Ferrell. I'd love to meet him. Apparently, when you know, so there's that picture of him in the dressing room after the game. They all got to meet him. I was like, oh, that looks absolutely brilliant. And shout out to whoever did the highlights on Quest. Did you see that?
No.
They did the roundup of the game, and there was about 14 references to Will Ferrell's films. It was absolutely genius.
That was Danny Jameson, who I work with. He did the script for that, I think, and
very
did all those
clever
different references. Yeah, very
he did
good.
An amazing job.
Oh, Oh, that is cool. Okay. What about at Spurs? Susan Sarandon.
But I love her. She just doesn't age, does she?
No.
She's like my goal in life of how to age eloquently. Not age elegantly is what I wanted to say, not eloquently.
Oh, I've got Helen Mirren, who I met once doing a Duke of Edinburgh day, and I was too scared to ask for a picture with her. And then I went to the official photographer and was like, because you're taking lots of photos, can you just ask to have one of us two together so it doesn't look like I'm taking a picture? And I thought, she's not the type you'd ask for a selfie, is it?
No.
But I could see her at the football with a pie and peas.
Oh, defo. Yeah.
A bit of gravy.
Yeah, a vegan one, maybe.
Forest Green.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was.
Yeah. Forest Green Rovers would be her team.
That would be very much up her street. Anyone else? Have you seen celebrities when you're out and about?
Well,
football?
I have. In a job, actually, I was asked to go and do that job, which is the reporter job at a TV channel where you're going to speak to the celeb fans that are there for that match. So I was at Anfield. I used to work for LFC TV, Liverpool. And I got so excited because Kim Cattrall, big Sex and the City fan, she's a huge yes. Liverpool fan. And they said, can you go and potentially interview her? This got downgraded as my afternoon went on, that I ended up interviewing Dave Gorman. Anyway, I really upset him. I didn't mean to, because I revealed to him, and I must have had some disappointment in my eyes as well, because I said, well, I was meant to be interviewing Kim Cattrall today, but I'm interviewing you, Dave.
You said that to
Yeah,
me.
I did. And I really regretted it. I felt really bad because I was thrilled to meet him. He's such a lovely guy. And I've actually read a lot of his books. So it was quite a nice tick off my list for that one as well. But I think it's just that I'd got in my head Kim Cattrall.
You couldn't hide your disappointment from Kim Cattrall to Dave
Gorman. Never tell them who you thought you were going to interview. Never do that. If you're starting out in the media world, do not do what I just did there.
I was at the playoff final, the Championship playoff final. Obviously, Prince William was there. Oh. A huge Aston Villa fan. I'm not entirely sure how, why, but they kept cutting to him, obviously, mm-hmm. especially when Aston Villa went through.
Tom Hanks as well.
Tom Hanks as well. I was a bit disappointed with Prince William's reaction. I wanted a bit more, wanted a bit of the, you know, to rip the shirt off round the head, you know, to reveal maybe an Aston Villa tattoo or
that
something.
That would have been Harry style,
yeah.
though, wouldn't it?
You know? True.
Yeah. But this
true.
Is what I mean. That's when it just feels like not a real fan, it's just celeb no. fan touch. Because if you want a real celebrity fan at Wolves, Tito Jackson.
Proper
yeah.
fan.
Yeah, proper fan. Wears the Wolves tracksuit, walks around the local area in it, is buying a property in Wolverhampton. I mean, why he would want to, I mean, I don't want to say too much because I love where I come from, but why he wants to get a property and maybe come to more, probably to come to more matches, I guess, because he's a real fan. But apparently it was the first proper soccer match that he watched and he fell for Wolves. But he wears a Wolves tracksuit. That is the way to
I
do it.
I love that he's been in the club shop. Picking out his tracksuit.
Do you think they sent him one for free? No, actually, I can see him going in, buying it, sizing it up, making sure he gets it right.
Absolutely.
Goodness me. Well, being a Manchester United fan, there's a list of famous United fans, but I'm not going to bore you with that. I'll tell you about a little bit of a story, which I have mentioned on this podcast, but a very, very long time ago when we were starting out, because it was one of the best days of my life. I'd gone to Wembley and was hosting in Club Wembley, and I'd taken my friend Bianca Westwood with me, who, of course, works for Soccer Saturday, works with me at Sky. And we'd gone with a little group of girlfriends. We'd gone to the cup final, and Charlton had just been promoted. They were about to play their last game of the season, I think. This does all link in. We'd looked over at one of the other tables quite near us, and I was like, I'm sure that's Stifler's mom.
I got some scotch.
Single malt?
Aged 18 years. The way I like it.
Yeah, from American Pie. And then I looked and I was like, that's Eugene Levy. You know, the big brows, the dad.
Yes. Legend.
Yep. Eddie K. Thomas. They were all there at the game. They'd been invited and they were all coming over to film. I think it was American Pie, the reunion. So we got chatting. Bianca is very like, I'm going over. I'm saying hello. So we were mingling around after the game and they all stayed back for a little while. We got chatting with them to the point that they were enjoying our company. I'd obviously been hosting, so they must have thought I might have been slightly important, not realising I'm absolutely not. So they invited us back to the hotel. Sounds a bit dodgy, no, but it wasn't. They were having a big meal and they said, we'll just come back. There's a few people who haven't come to the game and they've eaten already. We've got a big table booked. We're staying, I think it was the Corinthians. fancy, a really fancy hotel. So I was like, yes, I'm there. And I literally sat next to Stifler's mom all night and we had a really good chat. We all went out afterwards and had a few drinks. And another guy that was there, you might remember him if you were of our age group, Sean McGuire.
Yes.
Do you remember Sean McGuire?
Yeah.
Was it Grange Hill?
He yeah. was in and
so he's quite big in America. So he's good friends with Eddie K. Thomas and Jennifer Coolidge. And he was over here filming. I don't know what it was for. I think he was doing a play, actually, then filming and going back to the States. And he was saying how he was a massive football fan and he would have loved to have gone to a game and it was the last game of the season coming up. So Bianca was like, well, I know Chris Powell. I can get you tickets to go and see Charlton. So she did. She invited them. Half of them all came along. And not only that, they got to go into the dressing room with Chris Powell and gave a team talk. They'd already been promoted, so of course it was quite relaxed. It was the last game of the season at the Valley, so they could all kind of relax. But I was like, this is like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah,
so I'm hoping
awesome.
That Stifler's mom now and Eugene Levy and Sean McGuire and half the cast of American Pie are Charlton fans, although they've not seen much success since that promotion. But big fans of Chris Powell and big fans of the soccer over here.
What was Jennifer Coolidge like?
Oh, she was amazing. Well, she was like, oh, you know the voice. Oh, how? This is amazing. That's like, she was just like Stifler's mom. And she had a phone case. And it looked like something that might have belonged to a five-year-old child. It had like Hello Kitty on the back and was blinged up to the max. And I was like, wow. And she was very out there. She was really fun, really lovely. She was one of the ones that actually suggested we go back. It wasn't just all seedy. The lads like, hey, let's bring the girls. And so we were more fascinated with her than anybody else, to
oh,
be
I would
fair.
Be.
Yeah. And she said, my dream job, she says, was to be a sports broadcaster. She's a massive fan of sports. And she's a huge fan of Erin Andrews, who, of course, is the main face of sports broadcasting out in the States, hosts Dancing with the Stars, I think, there as well. And she was like, she's my idol. And she was like, you must be like the Erin Andrews of the UK.
Oh, yes.
I was like, that would be Gabby Logan. But I was like, yeah, I'll take it. I'll just ride with it. Before we end the show, we always have time for any other business. This is the part of the show where we bring in some of those smaller footballing stories that you might have missed. Robin, you spotted Ashley Barnes tucking into some less than healthy food at a restaurant.
Yes,
right?
This is my favourite thing when I see a footballer tucking into rubbish food. So after he scored a brace for Burnley on the opening day of the season, lovely goals. I love Ashley Barnes because he's so unglamorous, isn't he? But he's such a good striker. He was photographed in Five Guys in his full training kit, obviously.
What?
And I just thought, it gives me hope because I love rubbish food. And I just think, you know what? If a professional athlete is allowed to do that, then maybe there's still hope for me.
Yes.
Wow. I knew that they ate pizza a lot, but I didn't know that. Would he have had a black mark against his name for doing that?
I'm not sure. What do you think Sean Dyche would say?
I mean,
he eats worms, so...
He eats worms.
Sean,
he?
Did you hear this story?
No.
It was quite a while
what?
Ago. Yeah, it was quite a while ago. It wasn't true, obviously, but this was in the press, I think last year, and he was asked about it, and he kind of joked that, that's why he's got the voice that he has. But yeah.
I wish I'd have had Ashley Barnes in my fantasy football team. So my first week, I had Alisson in goal, and I had Decore in midfield, who scored an own goal.
Oh.
Yeah. And then they asked me, because obviously we've got the fantasy football podcast as well for the Premier League that Muddy Knees are now making. And they were saying, do you want to come on the show? I was thinking, oh, I better leave it a couple of weeks. It's not the time for me to be making my debut on that. I wanted to mention Adama Traore for Wolves, because when they went to Armenia in the Europa League, I don't know whether this caught your attention, but he wasn't in the squad and he wasn't travelling. And that's because he did a Lindsay from the World Cup in France. He turned up without his passport.
Oh.
So I'm looking for anyone who forgets their passport now. It's like an allegiance to myself. But my favourite was Nuno afterwards, Espirito Santo, said he didn't know it's impossible to travel with an ID card, but he'll join us next game.
Oh my word.
Wow.
I mean, that is pretty unforgivable, isn't it? You're in the Europa League, you know it's an away trip.
They still won for
getting on a plane.
You kind of need your passport.
Yep.
Yeah, it just made me laugh. Mm.
Going back to that unhealthy food thing, that reminds me of a time that, and this was me, it's really bad, when I was in Miami ahead of the World Cup when England were over there playing Honduras and was it Ecuador? They had a couple of warm-up games.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd gone over there and was working, and my best friend had flown out, and we just spent a couple of cheeky nights in a really nice hotel, just two nights at the end of the trip just to like relax and wasn't working. And we'd gone out the night before. I think we got in about 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, when you go to a hotel and they pump everything full of oxygen like they do in Vegas and stuff. So we come home not knowing what time it was, starving, put our bikinis on, went down, had a bit of a swim, sat at the edge of the pool, and I was sat kind of cross-legged, not really caring about what I looked like. I think I still had mascara dribbling down my face. We'd ordered a glass of rosé each, which at like 9 o'clock in the morning was probably not a good idea, but we're on holiday. And I had a massive bowl of chips with mayonnaise and tomato ketchup. So we were sat there, and I just saw this handsome figure, these two gents actually, walking out of the side door. Now, there weren't many people down there at that time in the morning. The weather actually wasn't brilliant, but we were just kind of trying to sober up. And it was David Beckham and David Gardner. And they were walking towards us. And we were the only two females, apart from a couple of kids and their parents, that were at the other end of a pool. And it was a small boutique hotel. And I'd already bumped into him in the hotel and kind of said hello. So he knew it was us. And I just sort of looked up. Just I didn't know what I was more ashamed of, sitting there in a bikini eating chips or the fact that it was a glass of rosé at an ungodly time in the morning.
I think you should be proud of all of those things.
Yeah. We just sort of smiled and nodded, and they sort of looked at each other and walked past.
That's living. Yeah. That's living, yes, I'd say.
They definitely made a comment. You do know that.
Probably, yeah.
There was a comment made, something like, that was a big night.
So at least, you know, we were out there just living, just living. These are some facts and figures that I have been reading, which is a real positive if you're an England football fan, okay? This weekend saw the highest percentage of England players to feature on the opening weekend of the start of a season since 2011. Now, the average for the entire campaign in 2011 was 38%. This opening weekend was 37.7%, which is magnificent. And of the 220 players who started for their clubs over the course of the opening round of fixtures, 83 qualified to play for England. So that is, yeah, over 37% could be considered for selection for the national team. And even Chelsea and Manchester United leading the way, in fact.
That's because it's forced on Chelsea, because they can bring anyone in.
But I mean,
but yeah, that's a good thing.
It's a positive. It's absolutely. But of that 4-0 win for Manchester United, not just the Man United Chelsea game, the 4-0 United win, nine players appearing at the start could qualify to play for England. So there you go. And
that's
actually
really encouraging. Yeah,
it's 33% named in the first teams of the Big Six clubs, whatever the Big Six are. I think we can kind of,
I think that's
that
the point, isn't it? They need to be playing for the big clubs, because I was at Sheffield United's game last weekend, and all of them were British, but obviously a lot of them aren't really going to be considered for selection by Gareth Southgate. So it's the Chelsea are sort of our hope, aren't they, now, thanks to this transfer ban.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What are you doing this weekend, Linz? Where are you?
Well, I'm at a wedding, so my match is Monday Night Football.
Oh.
Hayley McQueen and I on other sides of the room, separated briefly, because it's Wolves Manchester United.
Oh,
so I will be there at Molyneux for that one. How about you, Robin?
I am at Brighton West Ham. I'm really looking forward to that, because they couldn't have had more different starts, could they? West Ham absolutely tonked by Manchester City. So it'd be interesting to see how much we can actually read into that. And obviously Brighton under Graham Potter, everyone has tipped them for relegation pretty much. And they were brilliant against Watford. Obviously not great for your fantasy team, Lindsay, because that's a Corey own goal. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that was just a good start and if they can carry it on.
Yeah, I'm just on air on Sky Sports News on Sunday, not going to games anymore, not covering Scottish leagues, because it's far too far away to travel to. Scared of giving birth on my own in the Highlands. Saturday, I'm going to a food festival and I'm eating for two. How much better could my Saturday go? There's a gin tent, though, so I'm going to have to try and get myself away from the gin tent and just focus on the food.
Yes.
So I've got a great weekend lined up. Hope you both have fun time. Hopefully see you next week as well, back on the Offside Rule. Please do hit the subscribe button on your various devices to make sure you get each episode as soon as it's launched. Leave us a 5-star review. It's the only option that we're giving you on Apple Podcasts, and we will read out our favourites. Suki57 says, so many great football podcasts out there right now, but for me, this is one of, if not the best. Thank you, Suki. So until next time, make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram. It's simply at Offside Rule Pod for both. And check out the website too, offsiderulepodcast.com. And this week we've got an article on football grounds and the need for greater accessibility for all. So Robin, Lindsay, thank you very much indeed. Listeners, thank you. And we'll be back next week with more.
The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.